We talked last week about how the lectionary does something interesting in this Easter season. Easter is a season and not just a day. And it offers a sequence in Acts, the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, or the Acts of the Holy Spirit, which may be more appropriate. So it lunges us ahead from Easter to post-Pentecost, which is the coming of the Holy Spirit. And we saw last week how the community was gathering together in chapter 4, and now we've got the tennis match going on. We're now back to chapter 3. Talk to the lectionary people. I'll be reading from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, and I invite you to listen to the word of the Lord. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a man, lame from birth, was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple, called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and astonishment at what had happened to him. My friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that your word will settle like rain in our spirits, that it will fall on thirsty ground, ready to receive what is offered. Your word has gone forth as we've listened together, and so we pray that it will come to fruit and flower within us. Let it be manifested in the ways that you desire it to be, and that we would have it be as we seek to honor you. So sweep away all distractions now, God, and come and join us. We ask it and we need it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So there is this newfangled thing out there called the internet. And you have probably seen some videos on that if you've been around for a bit. Something like a person who has been deaf all their life, who has access to sound for the first time, and they hear their parent's voice or their child's voice. And you've probably seen those where somebody is colorblind and then they have the corrective lenses that are offered to them so that they see color for the first time. Well, I'm going to show you a 2-minute video of a guy who's also seen those before. And so we're just going to watch his story as Russi and John lower the lights, and after they lower the lights, we'll watch this together. This guy's actually a neighbor of ours, it appears. Let's not start it yet. Let's wait till the lights are off. Thank you. All right, here we go.
Uh-huh.
And it is more of a big deal for you guys than it is for me. I've seen these videos where people get emotional. And I'm not going to get emotional.
That's okay. I just want to see how well they work.
I have been a professional wrestler.
Wait, don't put them on yet.
I have been beat up by the biggest man in the world. I am not going to get emotional.
That's okay. Right. One, two, three. Totally different.
That's green.
We'll have to get some of Harmony's books out. We'll have to do the colors. Holy smokes, huh?
Why do you do that to us?
Now, thank you, Russi and John. So you heard the guy's story. Like, I've seen this. I'm not going to get emotional. I've been a professional wrestler. I've been beat up by the biggest guys in the world. I've lived 65 years without this. I'm doing this for you people because I'm good. I'm good. He never knew what he was missing. And even when he saw the kind of emotional videos, he thought, oh, that's awesome. I don't need that. I don't need that. But this is so powerful, isn't it? Did you get a little lump? All but the dudes. None of the dudes got a lump in the throat, right? Yeah, not you. So powerful for him because there's this whole world that he didn't know was there. He saw it almost in one dimension, and then he saw it in all of its fullness. And it's also so powerful for those of us who have access to the full spectrum of color. Because even though we know it's great, like he says, I'm sure it's great, but I'm okay. We know it's great, but it's so ordinary. Oh, it's just another blue sky, just another red tomato. Ho-hum, just life, right? We can fall into these patterns of the familiar, where it just is so ordinary, or I am okay, just like I am. In the text that we just read, there's this intersection of two paths of the familiar. So we have the dude who's been lame his whole life, and we have the apostles, Peter and John. And they run into each other. We start first with the guy who is lame. What do we know about him? We don't know his ethnicity. We don't know his age. There's a lot we don't know about him. But we know that from the moment he was born, he's never taken a step. He's never chased a butterfly. He's never stood at the wall in the temple to pray. He's never danced at a wedding. He's never walked his child home for supper. He's not had any of those experiences that are so common for us. He is profoundly dependent, and he doesn't have a lot of options. Because ADA was not around in the first century. And so if you couldn't get around on your own, then you were just stuck. You couldn't work as a mill sawyer. You couldn't be a carpenter. You couldn't do anything that required mobility and movement. All he could do was to sit like this and to ask for help. And he couldn't even do that without help. He had to be carried every day. Every day somebody had to take him outside the gate that was called the Beautiful Gate. It's not something that we know exactly where that was. There are a couple of different gates off the Court of Women that are believed to probably be the gate that was called Beautiful because it was so ornate and lovely. But they situated him there every day at the time for prayer. So this is kind of the height of Jewish piety. As afternoon, evening prayers are beginning, the faithful will come. They will worship the living God, Yahweh, who delivered God's people. And another piece of Jewish piety would be almsgiving. Giving of means to the poor, those who are neglected. So this guy is situated here because he knows it's especially good if on your way to the temple you're giving. I would say he's pretty shrewd as a businessman. He has figured out this is the place to be. These are the people who are going to most willingly give of their means to me. And actually, it feels a little bit like a win-win, doesn't it? He gets to receive something that can become livelihood for him, and the people get extra credit in their faith because they are on their way to temple and they give to somebody who is in need. And in this afternoon, it is just like every other afternoon that has ever happened. For all the years of his life, he has been brought to a place to do this. And on this day, he does the same. His whole life, he's been seeing without color. And he thinks it's just fine like this. It might not be great, but it's okay. I've learned how to navigate. I know how to get around in this world. I know who I have to rely on. And it's fine. It's okay. The other path that we have is Peter and John. These are two of the big dogs among the 12, right? Peter especially, he's top dog. Kind of like Marcy is at our church. And they are, she's the boss of me, right? They are keeping the holy rhythms of Jewish faith. They have been following Jesus for these years, but they are on their way to temple at the hour of prayer. I am not exactly sure where the other 10 are. Why aren't they there? And by the way, Matthias has become the replacement for Judas in chapter 1 when we do that again. I'm not sure where they are, but these two guys are on their way. And lately, they have been experiencing the power of community. They have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, who has fallen with power and might and gifting among those who have gathered. They have shared everything in common, chapter 2 says. Those who have means sell what they have, and then they distribute it among each other so that everybody is interdependent. We're all relying on each other in this situation. It says they are filled with their time together. They are spending time hanging out and growing in their faith, growing in relationship with God and each other. They are eating bread at home, breaking it together in their homes. And it says they ate with gladness and generosity of heart. So there is this warm, powerful spirit that is moving among the people who follow Jesus. And these guys are kind of floating on that cloud. It has been such a sweet season of connection and community. Sounds so peaceful, doesn't it? So they're in this honeymoon phase of, isn't life grand, and aren't we all together in this? And on their way to do the pious thing, to pray, they are confronted with a messy, challenging, real-life situation. A man who has never taken a step, who lifts his hand to them and asks for alms. He's not one of them. He's not in their number. And his need is clearly profound. What we can remember together is that they could have skated right on by him and nobody would have thought a thing about it. There wouldn't be a book of Acts chapter like, and then they ignored the guy by the gate. They could have just kept with the imagination and the illusion that they are living into their piety and gone to pray and ignored the guy who was in need right there. It reminds me of my pastor when I was a teenager. Talked about, he had been a Navy chaplain, and he talked about how when he was now back in civilian life again, he was on his way to preach a sermon, and he's racing to get there on time, and he sees a guy with a car broken down. He's like, I don't have time for that. I got to get there and preach this sermon about the Good Samaritan. Man, too often, Frank, I don't know what your experience is. I often have to live my sermons the very time I'm supposed to be preaching them. It's like, oh, I just want to talk about it. I don't really want to have to do it. It's so much easier. But this is a reminder that we cannot take a detour around the messiness of life. As they are going to do the faithful thing, they confront the messiness of life and they look. I had some friends at a previous church of mine who, I remember the husband saying, you know, I want to live in a world, I want to live in a community of Christians. I just think that would be awesome. And then we'd all go to school together, all our kids would be in school together, all these Christians, and like all the sports leagues, I would be Christian, the neighborhood would be Christian, and I just think that'd be awesome. And one of the leaders in our church said, that is the stupidest idea I have ever heard in my life. First of all, because you're going to have eternity to do that. You get to hang out with Christians forever. And God made you to live in the world. You are salt and light in the world. Do that now, right? And as an aside, it's also not that great because really, Christians, we're not all that great. You know, we're a bunch of people and trying to get along. If you've ever been in a church committee meeting, you may have experienced this reality. Yeah, because it's just a bunch of people with personalities bumping into each other. So Peter and John do not have that perspective. They're not thinking, wouldn't it just be great to stay right here in this comfortable zone? When they confront the messiness of life, they face it head on. They themselves have experienced the gift of color in their lives, and they could just relish in that. But they see someone in need. It says that they looked intently at the man. They could have looked away. And many of us know that feeling, don't we? It's uncomfortable, and I don't want to have to wrestle with the fact that I'm not responding, so I just turn my gaze. But they don't. Remember, they're sharing everything in common as a community. They don't have any silver or gold in their pockets. But they still see this guy. They see him as he is. This is the first scene, by the way, after Pentecost, after the coming of the Holy Spirit, the first scene that's recorded in the book of Acts. And so we see that now this miracle-working capacity of Jesus is evident in the people who followed him. They have done miracles, by the way. Do you remember when Jesus sent them and said, hey, go cast out demons, heal the sick, cure the lepers, that kind of thing? But they always were tethered to Jesus. They knew they were coming back to Jesus. Now the Holy Spirit has come and the risen Jesus is not physically present with them. But this is the first time that we see a miracle occur kind of in Jesus' name, on the Holy Spirit's watch. And as they see this guy, instead of focusing on what they don't have, they focus on what they do have. We don't have silver and gold. But what we have, we give you because we see you and we see your real need. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. They don't require that this guy says a prayer or that he believes like they do at this point. They give what they have, and Peter's faith is efficacious enough to bring the healing. He is the conduit. It's not that guy's belief. And so the man stands up and he does what he's never done. Miraculously, his ankles and his legs are strengthened. If you've loved a child who's learning how to walk, you know that's a process, right? It's first standing kind of awkwardly and then two steps fall. This guy just starts walking around and leaping and jumping. And the folks in the community say, this is the guy that's been sitting outside the beautiful gate all this time. He always asks for alms. And here he is kind of dancing in the temple. What is up with that? It's a fulfillment of this messianic promise from Isaiah 35 that says the lame shall leap like a deer in those days. So it's this recognition, this fulfillment of what Jesus has come to do. And then something really powerful happens. This man has been where? Outside the gate. The Levitical law would have, the culture would have prevented his going in. So now this man who can dance and stand goes into the temple with them. The one who was out is now in. The one who was marginalized is now in the circle. He is praising God. He sees what God has done for him. And so we recognize that color has arrived. Everything seemed okay enough. We knew how to navigate. And now color. Now color. Everything for the disciples felt so familiar and comfortable. Here we are confronted with difficulty and messiness. And now color and life. The one who is outside has been brought into the circle. And so we see this leveling of the playing field, the coming of the Holy Spirit, where the lame will leap like deers, and those who are blind will see, and color will infuse the universe. Let it be. Let's pray. God, we can sometimes be paralyzed by focusing on what we don't have. Give us the grace and the joy of recognizing what we do have, and then to be faithful to bear witness to that among those that are like us and those that are not like us. Give us the grace that your Holy Spirit will draw men and women and teenagers and children into your circle, that those who are out will now be in, and those who see only in one dimension in black and white will see color. Hear our prayers. We offer them in Jesus' name. Amen. Please rise if you're able. And so, my friends, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to make you stand in his presence blameless and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be all glory, majesty, power, and authority, now and forever. Amen.